I do believe we have Mike Pitts on the line with us. How you doing, Mike Pitts?
I am dragging. I'm tired.
You're tired?
Yeah.
Well, you've been traveling, haven't you, for a couple of days here now?
I drove all the way across Montana, South Dakota, and everything in between to get here for 2 days, so I'm tired.
Tired. Are you home?
I am.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. I understand you had quite a good time out there, Mike Pitts.
I had a good time and got a lot accomplished in the process, too, so it was a good trip.
Well, that's great. That's great. Did you get so you got some relaxation in before everything really starts back up with being a representative, right?
I did, and also looked at a program for PTSD, and really excited about that. A guy in Missoula, Montana, has developed a program that seems to be working with Iraq and Afghanistan veterans that we're losing at 22 a day to suicide. So
wow.
I'm really excited about that program. I want to bring it to South Carolina.
What, just real quick, what does the program, how does the program work?
It's equine based.
Uh-huh.
And it teaches to trust something bigger than you and to build a trust relationship with something bigger than you. And it brings guys out of the shell that they've gone into through PTSD. And that horse is a much bigger mass than I am. So, although I'm gaining on them every day.
Gaining on them every day. I don't believe that. I believe you probably just got to relax a little bit and enjoy yourself. Mike, that sounds great. And, you know, horses have been used in so many things. Out here at the Burton Center, they use it with the clients out there, and they just are finding amazing relationships of what happens when people get close to, I guess, horses, although I think we could translate that, dogs and cats. They use those also in helping in nursing homes and hospitals and all that kind of stuff too.
Well, dogs, cats, and horses all are amazing in this research, but horses seem to work, and the University of Montana cannot explain yet why. The study's not deep enough.
Right.
But why horses are working so well with Afghanistan and Iraqi vets compared to other types of counseling that they've done.
Wow. Well, that is good news. We'll look forward to hearing more about that. You know, just in the news the other day was, in fact, this is a topic that you and I had talked about and we're going to bring up at some time, and I don't know if you're up to speed on it, but this thing with the state and is it DSS and the child support payments that we are lagging in, and we've had to pay some huge fines because the state has not implemented these programs. Can you give us any idea what's going on there?
Yes, I can. That came under my budget committee, not the DSS part, but the court system part.
Okay.
And one of the problems was the previous Chief Justice had contracted with a company to set up the DSS payment or the child support payment system. And that company screwed up with the technology, and it ended up in a huge court battle. Now, the state won a settlement out of it, but in the process, we were having to pay fines because it was not implemented. And I don't know whether you would lay the fault at the feet of the former Chief Justice, Gene Toll, or whether you would lay the fault at the feet of Motorola. From my particular perspective, I would lay it at both.
Right. So,
I had the unfortunate or the misfortune of having to approve the Attorney General and the court system to pay the lawsuit and the fines.
Wow. Okay. So, and where are we at that? Where are we with that now?
The new system is being put in place, contracted with a new company, and I think it should be in place within the year.
You know what the ridiculous thing about this is, Mike? The people that are suffering are those that count on those child support payments, whether it's women or men that count on those. And still, and this is what, going on, is it 28 years? Is that what I heard in the news the other day?
Yep. I think that the child support system not only needs to be revamped, and which we're in the process of on the collection end of it, but it also needs a more accurate way of saying where that money is used. All of us know people who do receive child support payment, and none of it goes to the child. It goes to get a new tattoo. It goes to get new clothes for mom. It goes to go out to dinner. It does not go to take care of that child, and that needs to be addressed as well.
Well, I know that's been one of the projects. I remember this has been a couple of years ago that you've been talking about, is working with the court systems on even child custody. Wasn't that what that program was about a couple of years ago?
That's correct. That program is now fully in place, and even the old guard that fought me over it originally says it's one of the best things to happen to the court system, family court system, in modern times. And all it did was said that the child became the front and center, foremost piece, as opposed to an afterthought in a divorce or separation case. The child has no part to play in the divorce, and they deserve to be with both parents as much as possible and to have influence from both parents as much as possible. They didn't create the situation. And then, in the end, you have a better developed child if they have the support of both parents equally as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
All things being equal, you of course don't want to put them in the hands of an abuser or an addict.
Sure.
With equal opportunity and equal time, but you do want, all things being equal, that child to have a relationship with both parents as much as possible, but foremost not to be used as a pawn, a sword or a shield between two adults that have decided they can no longer get along.
Exactly. So I know that was a really good program, and I just found it amazing, as much as I will say y'all down there in Columbia cry about money and everything, and yet we have paid a tremendous amount in fines.
That is true, and that's a point that I brought up year after year. The problem with that is, and I'm not passing the buck, it is a true problem, is I have the responsibility as chairman of the budget committee over the court system to pay those fines, but I have no ability to force a third branch of government to do their job.
That's bad, Mike.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow. Well, that's one that's definitely to watch. So you think, will we pay another fine then, because it's going to be another year that this program? And my other question that I have never understood, I'm sure since this was mandated by the federal government, there had to be other systems that we could just pick up and copy or hire those people to come in and do it in our state.
Well, I agree with that, Ann, but as usual, things get sidetracked by other motives, and without saying too much, if you look at the connections between, at that point in time when this contract was initiated, between certain people with Motorola,
mm-hmm,
and certain people in our court system,
right,
you'll see where the problem came from.
Okay. You know, is it ever going to be a situation in government where we don't have these connections, these things that help others profit? Because I know that's kind of what you're saying here, to profit by relationships and buddy-buddy systems.
Pay-to-pay sound familiar?
Yeah, it does. Sounds real familiar, Mike.
Well, it happened, and you said 20 years ago. If you remember, we weren't in control of state government 20 years ago.
Well, it just boggles my brain when we talk about crying for money, and yet we could not undo or get out of a contract that obviously was bad and has taken this much time to undo.
Well, you got to give the credit where credit's due, and Chief Justice Gene Toll was one of the most brilliant individuals I've ever worked with.
Yes.
Especially in her arena.
Mm-hmm.
And this would never have happened to Gene Toll.
Okay.
Unless there were external influence.
Wow.
She's too smart for that. And to answer the other question,
yes,
will we ever get away from that? Not with the size and scope of government at all levels.
Wow.
Government is a huge cancer that feeds on itself. It grows. And a friend of mine once told me when I first got into the General Assembly that government programs are like a virus. You can't cut part of it out. You have to eliminate it. You have to kill it. And government at all levels, local level all the way to Washington, D.C., will put a program in place, but they never kill programs.
Mm-hmm.
And that program will continue to grow and feed off of itself, and it will need more money and more employees and that's where the problem is with government. If you went through with a true prioritization of state government and eliminated programs that were not effective, were not cost effective, or had simply accomplished what they were set up to do, and no longer functioned as they were designed to do, if you did prioritized on those three things and did elimination, we could put a lot of money back into the general fund budget, and I could get us back to where we were in 2008 with police officers on the street.
That is absolutely mind-boggling that it's 2016, soon to be 2017, And we still are dealing with this type of thing. You know, we have a project here in Greenwood. I'm not sure you're familiar with it. Say Yes to Greenwood. That is a sales tax project where we will add an extra penny to the sales tax. And there are 27 projects on this. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but can you speak to anything to do with how numbers of projects and the types of things that we're looking at? We did this a few years ago when we had two projects, the dam, which had to be taken care of, and the library.
Well, I again go back to prioritization, Ann.
Okay.
I have seen the list. I'm not fully 100% up to speed on this because it is a local government issue, and I leave that to the guys that are elected to do it. But watching from the outside, the list that I saw online has no prioritization to it. And I learned long ago that people will support things that they know are going to help them. For instance, when I was on county council, I had taxpayers tell me, I will vote for fire trucks, and I will vote for police cars, but you start spending my money on stuff that doesn't matter, and you won't be there long. And I saw that actually take effect in Clinton, South Carolina, on a tax proposal. District 56 school board over there wanted to go on a building project, and it was like a tale of two cities. Lawrence District 55 had every year maintained and built small projects to keep their system up to speed. Clinton had neglected to do that and decided to catch up 20 or 30 years all at one time. And they did a 60 mil tax increase and did it by referendum, and they did not do a good job of notifying the voters that it was going to be done. They did not advertise well, and there was very little debate over it, and they held it the week before you go back, school took back in. So by doing it the week before start date, they knew that a lot of people were going to be on final vacation with their kids. And basically all that came out to vote in that referendum were people within the school system itself. It was a very, very small turnout. And the long run, what happened with that was the mass majority of the people would not have voted for that tax increase at that large of a tax increase at one time. They probably would have voted for incremental, but they would not vote for a 60 mil tax increase at one lick. Well, a short time later, that entire school board was no longer on the school board. The people rebelled on it by unelecting people. So that's my caution when you start looking at this stuff, is prioritize and put fire trucks and policemen first, but also to make sure that the people are well informed, and also go through and look at your prioritization list of what's already on the books, and see if you are, make sure money's being spent wisely.
Well, I think I think that the premise here, number one, the order of the projects, how they're listed on that Say Yes for Greenwood is how they are going to be spent. For example, the building out at Tech will be first. The park system will be second. All the parks will be second. And then it goes down the list. I think the fire plan is number four or number five. I don't remember. I don't have it sitting right here in front of me. But it is by how it is listed on that Say Yes for Greenwood.
I would go back to what I said about prioritization and what people told me when I was on county council. I would have to go with parks and recs last on my prioritization list. And arts, I saw Cokesbury on there,
mm-hmm.
And other things. And having worked with the county and the city, and especially 96 and Ware Shoals, which are no longer in my district, those two cities are no longer in my
right.
district, or District 14, but they have some very needed and worthwhile projects on that list. The water lines, the sewer lines, the pump station upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have to, if I were recommending to my friends on county council, I would recommend looking at the infrastructure projects and other projects like that first. And the reason is there's state money available and federal money available in certain instances to help do those projects with a match. And if that money were used as match, it would go even further for Greenwood and get those projects done. But I know that those two mill towns desperately need infrastructure development, and I would look at that before I looked at
like the order is, it's the manufacturing plant at Piedmont Tech. And by the way, Mike, I don't know if you saw this, but it's been a big secret all along, but they have just announced this morning that TGen is investing $600 million and creating 220 jobs over 13 years with their new manufacturing facility right here in Greenwood County. That just came out a few minutes ago. That's official now. It was Project Cafe has a name to it, Mike.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, again, and I'll use one currently in place, the ZF facility in Green and in Lawrence County, which is across from Piedmont, or just up the road from Piedmont Tech's training facility in Lawrence County. It had to put off the expansion of their facility a year because we cannot, we being Piedmont Tech, could not train workers fast enough and get them up to speed. So we being the state, helped Piedmont Tech build a new facility or a new building over there, in addition to their building, to increase their capacity to train workers and provide those workers for ZF. And it's not just ZF. When you have a plant like ZF put its footprint in your county, you end up with support companies coming in and even sister companies coming in. So
sure.
We have to train those people fast enough. I look at that as an investment, if it's done right, an investment into the county, because the more higher paying jobs we have, the higher the tax base, and the less we truly have to increase taxes to pay for the things like that project list.
Sure. Well, you know, it's like in the order, it has the manufacturing center first. It has $5.5 million for a lot of parks, which is a good thing. I mean, parks are great. And then number three is the implementation of the countywide safety radio system. Number four on the list is the expansion of the Benjamin E. Mays Historic Site. And number five is the implementation of the fire master plan.
Well, and at the risk of a political firestorm, you could look at number four and know that is an appeasement project, and that's to get votes, and I understand that. But if you're looking at reality, it would not be that high on the priority list.
Exactly.
That's exactly what I was talking about the politics and prioritization. I'm not opposed to the Benjamin Mays. I helped Ann Parks get some stuff to work on that, and fully support that particular project. But when you look at it, parks can't be above job creation and infrastructure. And I've supported park system in Lawrence County heavily. And I'm going to support, without going too far and saying too much, a joint project between the two counties, Lawrence and Greenwood. And we'll do all I can to help get state money to help support that project. But you can't put those type projects ahead of economic development, infrastructure, and the people's basic needs, water, sewer, and job training and roads.
Sure. The very last project, number 27, and these projects, if it goes through, Mike, they have to have the money before they can start the project. The number 27 project is $4.8 million for the placement of lines for water service and fire suppression in the area of Highway 25 South.
Well, that's a great project.
Yes, that's number 27.
It,
8 years, 9 years down the road.
well, it will take them a while to get that amount of money, but with what that project could open up, and again, I'm one, and I understand that you've got seven people trying to work this out amongst seven people. I have to do it with 124 or 123 other than myself, so I understand exactly how some of this ends up. But that might be worth putting as number one and waiting until we hit that magic mark of $4.5 million to take off with that project. I've tried for years to get Lawrence County to look at the same thing. Greenwood County already has far better development along the 25 corridor than Lawrence County, and Greenville County comes down to the county line with all utilities. So if we were to connect the dots all the way from Greenville to Greenwood on Highway 25, that opens up a corridor that is almost as good as the I-85, I-385 corridor. And when I say almost, it's, you know, it's certainly not the main highway going to the coast, but it is an absolute connector for truck traffic from Greenville to Augusta to the Savannah coast, and it's also a huge connector for all of the upstate counties and interrelated stuff, because a lot of the material, employees and base for our manufacturing are not next door to each other.
Sure.
A lot of people out of Lawrence County commute 30 miles to Greenville to work, or not to this side of Greenville, somewhere prior to 30, but they commute. And the upper part of Lawrence County has become a good bedroom community for the manufacturing across the line in Greenville County. Now, they get the manufacturing money, but we get the property tax money out of those good paid workers that go to BMW, Michelin, and other places up there to work. So having the good infrastructure is a much larger reaching project with a lot of tentacles, positive tentacles, that I would have to surely take a look at in my top five.
Absolutely. So to wrap this up, what you're saying is that some of this you would have to look at the order for, say, yes to Greenwood. But that order is already done, Mike. So that's the order. The people that vote on this, our voters, they have to make a decision straight up, say, straight down, yes or no, based on the projects will be funded in the order that they are listed on that 27 projects.
Personally, if that were Lawrence County, I'd end up having to vote against it because of the prioritization order. Do I deem those projects necessary? Absolutely, some of them are. And I'm not going to say any of them aren't, but like I said, starting out with the state gets prioritization bass-ackwards a lot of times, and I vote against stuff in Columbia when the prioritization's not right. But that will be up to each individual. My comment to those supporting it would be to be honest to everybody, because the backlash can be tough. If you don't, you can ask seven people that used to represent the school board in Clinton.
Okay. Well, those are some excellent points to think about, and I think that is one of the things that I'm beginning to hate politics in a lot of ways, Mike.
Because I've always hated politics. People in Columbia ask me occasionally, why do you do this? You're an oxymoron. I said, no, I'm just a moron. But I hate the way politics works. And I really don't like to be in big crowds. and I won't get into depth on that, but there's reasons for it. And it's, I hate big government. I'm not real fond of government, period, but I'm part of it. And you have, the reason is you can't change it from the outside. And I can tell you this, after 14 years, it's very, very difficult to change it from the inside.
Yeah, it is. Well, we see that, and that issue with the child support thing, 28 years going on, is a good example, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that falls into a third branch of government. So like I said, I have the constitutional wall between me and the executive branch, between me and the judicial branch, and I can't force them to do anything. But I do have to pay the fines that they incurred, because if I don't, then the state loses the ability to govern itself. The feds will come in and take over child support. And you don't, I don't want the feds anymore involved in either my daily life, my personal daily life, or the operations of governing the state than they already have. As a matter of fact, they should go back to what the Constitution says, which is very limited in scope of what the federal government is supposed to be doing. And the states have much more of an ability to run themselves. And some governors of states are starting to fight back and go ahead and do things that they believe is right in spite of what the federal court system says. The most recent is the voter ID issue. One state is moving forward with voter ID in spite of what the federal government has said about it. And that will be interesting to watch as we move forward through this election. And the biggest thing out there right now is absolute distrust and mistrust, and in some cases downright hatred for all forms of government.
That's
and
true.
Government's brought it on itself.
I believe they have, and one of the big issues I think that we're dealing with in the presidential election is what's going to happen with the federal court system, with our justices.
Well, that's the biggest thing that this election is going to control. You have one line of thought, which I think is the thoughts of the founding fathers, which is the court system's job is to interpret law by the literal words of the Constitution. You have another line of thought, which is the one I'm awfully afraid of, that says the Constitution's a living document that is can be changed and moved and basically allows the Supreme Court to write law by interpreting law. And that's not what the founding fathers envisioned. And I take that by the statement, if a law is written, it's supposed to be written, these are the words of the founding fathers, so that a man of average education, which was a ninth grade education in those days, and common intelligence, reading it and exercising common sense, would be able to interpret it. So they wrote their, if you use that as a backdrop, they wrote the Constitution literally to mean what it says. It doesn't need interpretation. You have to interpret a law. If I sit down and write a bill and the General Assembly passes it, it's the court system, if challenged, to say, does this fit within the lines of the written Constitution? That's all their job is. It's not to interpret because it was written literally. And you're right. The scariest thing about this election is four Supreme Court justices.
Yeah, absolutely. So we got to move forward. It's Tuesday is the big day, and Wednesday everybody will be talking about what did and didn't happen. But there's a lot for people to think about, not only on the federal level, which we're bombarded with on all the media and everything, but there's a lot right here in our own local government.
Well, anytime there's a tax question on the table, people get nervous. You know, I supported first round the road tax, an increase in the gas tax, and I've explained on your show more than once why.
Right.
Took a lot of heat over that, and I dare you to find someone more conservative than me in the South Carolina House of Representatives. But I know from looking at the books that money designated for roads, the state over the last 40 years has not put money there. We've depended on federal money to maintain our road system.
And we can see that hasn't worked well for us.
No, it has not.
Yeah.
And as I said, I drove to Missoula, Montana, and back home, and there are two things that I noticed. A lot of those states maintain roads differently than we do, and they maintain roads better than we do. They have fewer roads than we do, and their roads, their highways are clean. And that's driving across. I did not see the litter in any other state that I went through that I see in South Carolina.
Wow.
And that's something I intend to work on come January, and I haven't decided exactly how yet.
Well, I think that's great. And how were the roads as far as potholes falling apart and this type of thing?
Well, the highways themselves were in good shape in most of those states. And Missouri, between St. Louis and Kansas City, had a huge amount of repair going on. They had some issue with the roads, but it would be 10-mile stretches of widening and new pavement, and the same thing in Illinois. So, but I also have to say, I almost ran out of gas coming back down 85 last night.
Pipeline?
Well, to get back into South Carolina out of Georgia and get to the first gas station in South Carolina so I wouldn't have to pay that extra 24 cents.
You're just like everybody else, Mike.
That's true.
Yeah.
And that's all of that is things that you take a look at when you're dealing with taxes.
That's right. The
mistrust of government is there, and the best thing I can say to other people is be open with it, because if you're not, somebody's going to find out and point it out in the long run.
Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you taking this time with us. I know you're tired, but you had a great trip out there. We're glad you made it back safe, and looking forward with many great conversations in the coming months, because you're going back to Columbia again.
Yeah, reorganization is coming up in December, and a lot of changes. There also has been a cloud over the General Assembly for 4 years with the investigation into Bobby Harrell and as Speaker of the House and his indictment. And I firmly believe you'll see indictments sometime between now and the first of the year wrapping up that investigation. And according to who ends up indicted and on what charges could change the structure of the House of Representatives.
Wow. And then there's the presidential election.
Oh, God, I don't even want to think about that.
You know, I was just talking about indictments, that's all, Mike.
How Hillary Clinton cannot be indicted is beyond me. If I had done one thing that she did, I would have opened myself up to indictment.
Exactly.
And there are people sitting in Leavenworth for doing things far, far less. General Petraeus lost his position for one instance, not 36,000, but one.
Yeah. What do you think about James Comey coming out in that last? Within that last, that's the thing that the Hillary's campaign is counting on, is that it's so unfair and it's changed the election and everything. What do you think about that? Just real quick.
I think if Comey had done his job to begin with, it wouldn't even be a question at this point. I think he's trying to cover his reputation at this point by reopening the investigation because he was having a revolt from rank and file.
Yeah.
Rank and file are good people. I know a lot of them. I worked with a lot of them. And he had a revolt underneath. And the entire reputation of the Federal Bureau of Investigation is the card that's on the table in that stake.
Yeah.
Talk about mistrust of government.
Yeah.
And here's the biggest thing. The biggest thing that I see out of all of this is the number of people that will vote for her saying, I know she did wrong. I know she probably should be in jail, but we need a woman president.
Yeah.
Or I hate Trump so bad, I'm going to vote for someone that really should be wearing an orange jumpsuit.
I agree, and they're actually saying that is going to motivate the base to get out to vote, Democratic base.
Well, I've heard people say that.
Yeah.
I've had people tell me it's time for a woman president. Well, I'm not going to disagree that certain women would make a far better president than Donald Trump, but they're not in this race.
That's right.
I would vote for Condoleezza Rice in a heartbeat.
Yep.
There's a female senator from Kentucky that's a state senator that I would vote for in a heartbeat because she firmly believes in the Constitution of the United States and fights for that Constitution. She's a Democrat, and guess what? Guess who she is not supporting?
Hillary?
She is not supporting Hillary. And this is a lady that took Hillary around in her community before when she was running and took her group to group to personally introduce her to people. And she said, I see where she's going with animal welfare. I see where she's going with taxation. And she's like me, based on Benghazi alone, I would not vote for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Well, this has been most informative, and I really appreciate you taking the time, Mike Pitts. We'll be looking forward to talking to you, and I guess you'd really like to tell the folks, though, to get out and vote, right?
I would like for them to get out and vote, and also, I need a few votes. I'm unopposed on the ballot, and Mr. No-Op has never beaten me before, and I would hate for this to be the first time.
Okay. Well, You just keep up the good fight for us, and let's hope that comes Tuesday that a lot of decisions are made and we can get back to doing the business that needs to be done.
And in serious business, I'll leave you with two things. One is this PTSD program. I don't know whether it will be the one developed in Montana or the one developed in Virginia, but we've got to get off our cans and do something. We're losing 22 people a day to their own hand that fought for this country. And the other thing, and very seriously, people need to pray and pray hard about their decision on this election. Take all of the news media, all of the hype, and block it out of your mind. Sit down with your one-on-one peace with your maker and determine who to vote for. If you do that, I won't argue with your vote.
Thank you very much, Mike Pitts. God bless, and welcome home.
Thank you much.
All right. Have a good one, Mike.